Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's service. We've got a special treat for you today. Benjamin Conway is joining me in Albania this week, and we decided that it would be a great opportunity just to record him. And he's going to be kicking off our next series on the Holy Spirit. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to encourage you. It's going to be awesome. So make sure you get come to the services. If you can't come, make sure you get hold of the audio so that you can keep up to date, because it's really going to be enriching. And as I said, you're in for a special treat today. So I want to encourage you to open up your heart to receive. For those of you who don't know, Benjamin Conway is the lead pastor and founder of Tree of Life Churches and Network in the UK. That's where I ministered in August last year, and I ministered there on New Year's Eve, this past New Year's Eve. And we've really developed a great relationship with him and with his wife and with the church. And we're really just privileged at the moment to have him in Albania. The people have been blessed here, and I know you're going to be blessed today through his ministry. So you can just, even though he won't hear you clapping, you can all just give him a round of applause and welcome him to minister to us this morning.
Hi there. Like Shane just said, my name is Ben Conway. I'm the pastor of True Life Church in London. And it's an awesome privilege and an honor to be with you guys today. Shane told me he wants me to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I love talking about the Holy Spirit. What I've found in my life is that things that you appreciate come towards you. And things that you underappreciate move away from you in your life. It's like a universal law. What we honor comes near to us. What we dishonor moves away from us. And I've found that the Holy Spirit is dishonored in many churches, even charismatic, word of faith, grace, balance, complete work churches like ours. Sometimes we forget about the Holy Spirit. We fail to honor the Holy Spirit. And so he moves away from us. Not that he physically moves away from us, but we don't notice he's there. We don't notice his presence. And the Holy Spirit's such a perfect gentleman. He'll never force himself on you. And you all know that. You've all sat watching telly one day, one evening, and what you're watching suddenly becomes inappropriate. You think, I shouldn't be watching this. It's a bit dark. It's a bit gruesome. It's a bit tantalizing. Have you noticed the Holy Spirit speaks in a still small voice inside you? He doesn't pick up the remote control and smack you over the head with it and say, you stupid moron, what's wrong with you? He's a gentleman, very gentle. And so we have to learn his ways, talk about him, focus on him, so that when he speaks in that still small voice, we recognize him. I believe that the four greatest gifts every human's been given are, number one, their destiny. Your destiny is a gift from God. You can't change it. You can either walk in it or not walk in it. But when you walk in it, it opens the door to your provision. It opens the door to your joy. It opens the door to you seeing maximum results for minimum effort. It's a great gift from God. Another gift from God is seed. When God made Adam and Eve, he said, I give you seed. You might be sitting there today and you don't have what you need, but you have the seed to create what you need. Everyone does. Another great gift, a third great gift, is assignment, our seed, it's dominion. God gave us dominion. He said again, he said to Adam, I give you dominion. You have authority on this planet. Your words matter and your words change things. But the fourth great gift was given to the church on the day of Pentecost. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. And you have to realize the Holy Spirit is a person. If you got your Bibles, open them to John 14 and have a look at verse 16 with me. John 14 and verse 16. And it says this. It says, I will ask the Father. It's Jesus talking. I'm going to pray to the Father. I'm going to ask the Father. And he will give you another comforter that he may be with you forever. Notice Jesus doesn't say it may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit's not a presence. It's not a feeling. It's not a vibration. It's not a shaking. Those things may happen when the Holy Spirit is in the house. But the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is equal to the Father and the Son in power, in majesty, in rank. He is God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And it's awesome because Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to send him to you. And how many of you know Jesus' prayers get answered. So right now, the Holy Spirit is here. He's here with me in this room as I'm filming. He's here with you in the building you're in right now. He's here. He's not anywhere else. He's here. Jesus sent him through praying to the Father, and he's here. And John 16:13 tells us the Holy Spirit speaks. And that's one of the greatest blessings, I believe, of knowing the Holy Spirit, is he speaks to us. All my life as a child, I wanted a God that I could talk to. But religion presented a God who was far away, a God who didn't talk. You had to talk to him through a priest. You had to talk to him through someone else. You had to say prayers that other people had written. But I found out through the Holy Spirit, there's a God I can talk to. And as I talk to him, he talks to me. And that's awesome. And maybe some of you here, you say, maybe I've never heard the Holy Spirit's voice before. Well, we're going to spend some time and show you how to hear his voice. Because he wants to speak to you. The Holy Spirit speaks. And that's good news. You should turn to your neighbor right now and say, the Holy Spirit speaks. And we have a God who speaks. We don't serve a dumb idol. That's good news. We should be excited about that fact. And John 14:26 tells us the Holy Spirit teaches. He doesn't just want to speak to you today. He wants to teach you. I'm teaching you right now, but the Holy Spirit also wants to teach you. What I'm saying is generic. You know, it's to everyone. But the Holy Spirit can take my words, take the scriptures, take your life experiences, and say something to you that teaches you specifically. It's not generic. It's going to change your life in a way no human being could change your life. And so God wants you to know the Holy Spirit better. And then this verse here, John 16:7, I think is one of the most life-changing verses in the Bible. I think if you understand what John 16:7 really says, your life will never be the same again. Jesus, it's the night before Jesus is betrayed. It's the night before he's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to be murdered. It's going to become sin. And so his time with the disciples is really much over. It's gone. I mean, we all know he's coming back to life on the third day, but pretty much 10 days after that, he ascends into heaven. So he's only got very limited time with the disciples, and they know that, and he's trying to explain that to them, and they're getting disappointed. But look what he says. Verse 5, I'm going to him who sent me. I'm going back to the Father, and none of you ask me where I'm going, because I've said these things to you. Sorrow has filled your heart. In other words, you're so sad because I'm going away. You're going to miss me. You've loved me. I'm Jesus. I've worked miracles. I've done great things. I've changed your life. You're going to miss me. Look what he says in verse 7. But I tell you the truth. So what we know is coming next is going to be true. It's absolute truth. It's in the Bible, which is the word of truth. It's said by Jesus, so he is the truth. And he says, I'm telling you the truth. This is triple truth now. So don't miss it. Don't miss out on what Jesus is saying here. It is to your advantage that I go away. It's better for you that I leave. And you can imagine the disciples, hold on a minute, Jesus. How can it be better for us if you leave? You can heal every disease. If we get sick, you can just heal us. If we get lost, you can tell us the way. If we need a drink of wine at a wedding, you can turn water into wine. If we get caught in a storm, you can still the storm. How can it possibly be better for us that you go away? That doesn't make sense. And Jesus said, it is better for you that I go away. Because if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate what Jesus is saying here. He is saying that you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that is so fruitful, so dynamic, so intimate, so powerful, that it's better than walking around on planet Earth with Jesus himself. That's staggering. I don't think most Christians really believe that. I think if Jesus Christ walked in the room right now in the flesh and said, I'm going to spend the next 3 years with you, I'm going to be your friend, and I'm going to disciple you, and I'm going to train you, and you're going to watch me work miracles, and you're going to watch me do stuff. But all you have to do for me to do that for you is give up your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I think if most Christians had that offer from Jesus in the flesh, their answer would be similar to the Ephesian church in Acts 19. One Holy Spirit. We didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. Bye, Holy Spirit. We're going to go with Jesus. And do you know why most Christians would choose that? that side of things? Because they can't. Because they're moved by what they see. They're moved by what they feel, and they need someone else to see before they believe. But actually, you see, how much better is it now that we've got the Holy Spirit than if Jesus was here in the flesh? I'll tell you, it is 1,000 times better. Jesus in the flesh is God with us. He's standing right next to us. That's awesome. And God has become a human and stands right next to me. That is awesome. But the Holy Spirit is God inside me. Right now, God himself, through the Holy Spirit, lives inside me. I've got God inside me, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's an awesome thing. Most of you don't realize how awesome that is. The Holy Spirit inside you makes you greater than anything the world can throw at you. That's an awesome thing. That's better than having God beside you. It's having God inside you. But because we can't feel the Holy Spirit all the time, because we can't see the Holy Spirit, we forget he's there. But if we look at the Word and read the Word and meditate on the Word and live by faith and not by sight, we would, everywhere we go, we'd walk around like champions. We'd walk around like John Wayne, because God lives in me. When I walk into a room, God walks into a room. When I put my hand on the sick, God puts his hand on the sick. When I get a plane and fly to Germany, fly anywhere, God is flying to that country because he lives in me. I need to get out of you. When you go to work tomorrow morning, God is walking into the office. God is walking into the college. God is walking into the factory because he lives inside you. And if you could become God inside you minded, and that would be your thought and your contemplation, you'd never have a depressed day in your life. You'd never have a down day again. You'd never be sad again. You'd be walking around just, you could barely control yourself from laughing. No situation would faze you. How can that be you? I've got God inside me. Threaten me as much as you like. Bring a Goliath my way, devil. Bring some poverty my way, devil. Bring some sickness, come at me. I've got God inside me, and I'm more than a conqueror. You see, if you realize that, then you'd understand that Jesus was telling the truth. It is better for you to have the Holy Spirit inside you than have Jesus beside you. That's what Jesus said, and I believe Jesus, and maybe it's not manifest in your life yet. Maybe right now you don't have a walk with the Holy Spirit that you could turn around to Jesus and say, nice offer, Jesus, no thanks. But I'm telling you, you start to believe the words of Jesus, and you start to believe that he said it's better to have the Holy Spirit than him, and you start to say, that's true, I've got the better portion, I'd rather have the Holy Spirit than Jesus, and you start speaking the word and start believing the word, and I'll tell you, things will change. It'll start to manifest in your life, and you, I'm looking for the man of God, you'll start being the man of God. You see, when you were with Jesus, like Peter and James and John with Jesus, they were observers to the miracle worker. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love observing miracle workers. I love watching people work miracles. But I'll tell you what, there's no greater joy than being a miracle worker. Amen. And God has called you to be a miracle worker. Every one of you, whether you're a pastor, an elder, or the guy who's making the teas and the coffees, the guy who shakes hands at the door, whether you're going to get up tomorrow morning and go to a church meeting, or you're going to get up tomorrow morning and go to the factory or the office, you are called to be a miracle worker, and God lives inside you so you can be a miracle worker. I mean, can you imagine how bad it would be if Jesus had hung around on the earth and not sent the Holy Spirit? There you guys are in South Africa and you need a miracle. You need someone to lay hands on you and heal you. Maybe you've got cancer. Maybe you've got maybe it's headaches. Maybe it's an ingrown toenail. Maybe you can't walk properly. Maybe your eyes are blind. Maybe your ears death. Maybe you're struggling in some sort of sickness and you need a miracle. Well, you know, when Jesus walked around on the planet, you know, he healed all who were sick. So if he's still around today, he'd still be healing all who are sick. But what if Jesus isn't in South Africa? What if he's in Israel? What if he's in India? What if he's in England for the day? How would you get to him? People would die before they could get to Jesus. People would die because they couldn't afford the flight to get to Jesus. Jesus would be exhausted just traveling the world all the time trying to get somewhere to heal someone. But you know what? Because I've got the Holy Spirit in me, I can heal people right where I am. I don't have to go looking for Jesus. I can heal the sick right here, right now. You can heal the sick right here and right now. If someone's sick in your office tomorrow, you don't have to drag them to church, drag them to a meeting, try and find Jesus. You've got God inside you. You could lay hands on them in the office, and they could get healed in the office tomorrow morning, because God lives inside you, and you're not just an observer of miracles. You're a partaker of miracles. You're a worker of miracles, because God is inside you. I hope this is starting to get you as excited as it's making me just by sharing it. Do you know, we were dependent on a limited man when Jesus was with us. And at one stage, Peter needed Jesus to still a storm. But Jesus was asleep. Why was he asleep? He's fully human. He needed to sleep. He needed to go to the bathroom. He couldn't be in more than one place at once. He was fully human. But you know, the Holy Spirit is not human. He never became human. The Holy Spirit isn't limited by time and space. The Holy Spirit never goes to sleep. You know, I can wake up in the middle of the night and I can be scared about something, worried about something, hurt about something. Do you know what? The Holy Spirit's wide awake. You know, I was waiting for you to wake up, son. Let me tell you, peace. Let me tell you, it's going to be okay. Let me tell you, we're going to make it. Because he never slumbers or sleeps. The Holy Spirit is here with me, and he's over there with you, thousands of miles away. It's awesome. God is now with man in unlimited form. That's glorious. He came to earth as a human and limited himself. That's amazing. That's the miracle of Christmas. And that's a great miracle. God became man. And then the miracle of Good Friday, God died. And the miracle of Easter, a man rose from the dead. But now we have the miracle of Pentecost. God is inside man, but God is still unlimited. That's a great miracle. And that's something worth shouting about and getting excited about and reminding yourself of over and over again. The Holy Spirit's inside you and he wants to talk to you. And even more glorious than that, he wants to talk through you. The Holy Spirit wants to talk through you today. He wants you to be a carrier, a messenger of his messages for other people. You know, I've found one of the things that holds people back in ministering through the power of the Holy Spirit more than anything else. First of all, they don't realize he's with them. They're not conscious of him being with them, but you know better now. I've just given you some scriptures. And if they haven't, you know, excited you already, you need to go home today and meditate on them, read through them, especially John 16:7. And you need to read that until you get it inside you. It is better. The Amplified Bible says, it is good, expedient, and advantageous that I leave and the Holy Spirit comes. It is good for you that Jesus has left and the Holy Spirit's here. It's advantageous to you. It's better. And that word expedient means practical. It's more practical that the Holy Spirit's here. We don't have to go and find Jesus, wake up Jesus. You know, maybe we wake up Jesus and he needs a shower. This is a human. You know, humans need a shower sometimes. They get a bit smelly, you know. But the Holy Spirit doesn't need a shower. He doesn't need to wake up. You don't have to go and find him. He's in you. That's practical. God is a practical God, and he's made it so practical, and now you've got God inside you. That's awesome, isn't it? That's something worth celebrating about. That's something worth rejoicing. So you know that now. You know that God is with you. You know the Holy Spirit's in you. You're not going to forget that, are you? Turn to your neighbor and say, I will not forget. The Holy Spirit lives in me. You know, you're not going to forget that tomorrow. You're not going to forget that the next day. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and you can do the works Jesus did. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. He wants to talk to people through you. I mean, that's good news. But I would say the one thing that stops people sharing what the Holy Spirit shared with them is people are self-conscious about themselves. They're concerned about who they are so much. They're so obsessed with the flesh that they don't come forward. And what's happened is we live in a society that likes to make everything uniform. It likes to make you conform. That's why Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. The world likes to conform you. Do you know how the world builds? you want to look at Genesis 11 and read about the Tower of Babel, the world built by making bricks. That's the first time bricks are mentioned in the Bible, is at the Tower of Babel. They made bricks to build that tower. Do you know what a brick is? It's exactly the same as the next brick. It's exactly the same as the next brick. It's exactly the same as the next brick. That's how the world builds. You've got to look like everyone else, dress like everyone else, sound like everyone else, be like everyone else, think like everyone else, like what everyone else likes. That's how the world builds. It conforms you. And so we take that attitude and we bring it into the church and we think that's what the church wants to be like, and we make the church look like Stepford Wives. That's not how God wants to build. How does God build? God builds, you can read how he builds his temple in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, you don't take a chisel to that stone. You don't cut that stone. You take that stone as it is and you put that stone into the temple. And then you find another stone that fits with that stone, another stone that fits with that stone. But we're not chopping the stones up. You know, some of you watching this right now, you think, you know what, I'm too loud. Well, God likes loud people. And some of you, I'm too quiet. God likes quiet people. Now, if you're a naturally loud person, there's certain temptations that you might go for that a quiet person would never fall for. And you've got to be aware of that. But the loudness isn't the problem. And if you're a naturally shy person, a naturally quiet person, there's certain temptations that you might have that a louder person would never have. But you know what? That's not the problem. The problem isn't whether you're loud or quiet. God loves loud people, quiet people. God loves you, whatever your background, whatever your nationality, wherever you've come from. And God is on your side. And God doesn't mind that you sound like you. God made you, you. You know, when I read my Bible, it amazes me. I read 1 Peter and 2 Peter and 1 John, 2 John and 3 John. And you know what? That's the word of God. It's the very exact word of God, word for word, the word of God. But Peter still sounds like Peter, and John still sounds like John. God can speak through you, and you still sound like you. I gave a prophetic word in church about a year ago. I can't even remember what the word was, and somebody was set free, and it was a powerful thing. And at the end of the service, a young man came to me, a very young man, must have been 18 or 19, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, that word you shared this morning, I said, yes. He said, I had that word first. I said, I know. I knew you had it first. And you were meant to share it. But you didn't. And because you weren't available to God, God asked me to share it. That's all I was God's backup plan today. He said, I didn't share it because I thought I was too young to share that word. And I said to him, how do you know God didn't want the word to sound young? You know, sometimes God wants to sound a certain way, and you help him sound that way, and he'll speak through you. I come from a part of England called Essex, and that gets a bit of a reputation in England for being a bit common, and a bit stupid, and a bit down to earth. And sometimes when you hear my accent, maybe you guys won't pick it up from another nation, but certainly in my nation, my accent makes me sound a bit like someone who's a bit uneducated and a bit foolish. And so sometimes I get a bit embarrassed about that. Sometimes when I'm ministering that, I say, Lord, why do I sound so Essex? And God says, I'm pleased you're from there. That's where you're from. I don't want you to sound like anything else. You know, that's one of the things that affected the charismatic movement for a long time, was people trying to sound like someone else. And they prophesy, and they even go to King James English, and thus saith the Lord. And they put on this fake voice, and this is what the sovereign Lord... No, God wants you to sound like you when the Holy Spirit speaks through you. He wants you to be yourself. He doesn't want to take a chisel to the stone. He wants you to be yourself. You know, that's the truth. He wants you to be you. And he loves you just the way you are. And the Holy Spirit inside you wants to speak through you. He wants to bubble up inside you and give you prophetic words, words of encouragement and comfort. First Corinthians 14 says that prophecy is given to encourage and to comfort and to build up the church. God, not to judge, not even to direct. Let the Holy Spirit direct people himself. You know, but the Holy Spirit wants to use you to comfort people, to encourage people, to build people up with supernatural words. He wants to have an atmosphere where everybody's free to share and encourage a prophetic church, not just one man of God and the gifts, but everybody flowing in the gifts. We're all part of the same body. And just because you don't look like someone else, don't disqualify yourself from the body. The foot can't say, I don't look like a hand, I better, I'm not really part of the body, because actually the hand needs the foot to walk with and to get somewhere. And the foot needs the hand to pick up something. We all need each other, and it's amazing. Sometimes the one person who ministers the most life to you is the one person who looks the most unlike you. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, if you've got a splinter in your foot one day, the worst thing you could do is try and take it out with the other foot. Yeah, when many Christians have a problem in life, they go to find the Christian who looks most like them. Same nationality, same ethnicity, same background, same gender, same age group. You know, why don't you go and ask someone 30 years older than you to pray with you? They might know something you don't. Or someone 30 years younger, they might see something you don't. Guys, ask a female. Females, ask a guy. They might know something you don't. They see things differently. The two genders are different. Despite the world's attempt to make them the same and say you can change whenever you like, you can't. And different genders. And God made them different. He made them male and female. And it's good that he made them male and female. Or someone who's grown up from a different nation from you, a different ethnicity. They'll have wisdom you don't have. I'm so glad when I went to Bible school, that God had got a quarter of my Bible school was West Africans, because they were training Ghanaian pastors at the same time, or was England, because they taught me to pray in faith. They taught me to stand on the word. No Englishman knew that. No Englishman could have taught me what they taught me while I was at Bible school when we had our prayer meetings. It's funny now, because now I'm crossing all over London, going to African churches and teaching them how to pray. But I was taught that by people who are different from me. If I only hung around people like me, I wouldn't have learned anything. And God has made you unique. He's made you you. He loves you the way you are. He doesn't want to take a chisel to the stone. He wants to put you into his temple the way you are. I'm not saying you can just be that kind of person. Oh, that's just me. That's just the way I am. I mean, there needs to be some flesh cut off. We understand that. But I'm saying that your basic core personality, your soul, your preferences, God made you that way. And he loves you that way. And he's got a purpose and a destiny and a mission for you. And when the Holy Spirit's inside you and you listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll speak through you, encourage people through you, and lead you to bless people in a way someone who doesn't look like you, someone who doesn't sound like you, could never, ever do. You know, we sometimes think, again, because the world is all about conform, we think our value in life is because we're just like someone else. And I've found out over the years, my value in life is not in my similarity to anyone. It's in my differences. Take Shane, for example. You're not at Grace Life because Shane's just like your last pastor. You're at Grace Life because he's not like your last pastor. He's different. And you value that difference. And that difference has brought meaning to your life. It's brought revelation to your life. It's brought power to your life. And so God has made you different. Value your difference. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit inside you and celebrate his goodness. I'm now going to hand over to your local pastors to help you minister to each other, minister the gifts, and you know, talk to you about the wonderful love of Jesus. Thank you so much for your time today. You are blessed. Never forget, the Holy Spirit's here, he's in you, and it's better than being with Jesus. Ask the Lord to show you what that means for you today. Amen.